Welcome to Full Advisor Coaching, the podcast with Kristen Harrod. From launching her RIA to guiding countless financial advisors, Kristen is your VIP ticket to reach new levels of success and fulfillment. Dive into growth strategies and grab next-level marketing, sales, and leadership insights to supercharge your business. Joined by industry experts, Kristen's here to help you do more of what you love.
Hello, and welcome to the Full Advisor Coaching Podcast with your host, Kristen Harrod. Kristen, hi.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for the intro. Today, I am really excited because we're going to bring in a guest to talk and help us look at some of the challenges of and opportunities of being an RIA leader and a financial advisor. So today, I am pleased to welcome Kristen Luke. She's the president of Kaleido Creative Studio and creator of the On Niche program. It's a strategic niche marketing system for financial advisors. She's the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Uncomparable, The Financial Advisor's Guide to Standing Out Through Niche Marketing. And with nearly 20 years experience in our industry, Kristen definitely stands out as a thought leader in the world of advisor marketing. And because this podcast focuses on a blend of professional and personal, I also want to share just a few fun facts about Kristen. Probably one of my favorites is she opened her first business at age 22 in Lombok, Indonesia, a beachfront bar. And I think some days it just probably sounds good to go do that again. She also holds her private pilot license for single engine aircraft and her instrument rating. You'll often see her, she'll post a photo sometimes on social media so you can take a peek from the cockpit. And she splits her time between her home in San Diego, California, and her cabin in Idlewild, California, where she can balance beach living with time in the mountains. And I've had the pleasure of knowing and collaborating with Kristen for many, many years. I consider her a go-to resource in our field. And more importantly, I consider her a friend. Welcome, Kristen. I'm happy to have you here today.
Thanks, Kristen, for having me. It's always good to talk to you, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun because, frankly, it comes down to, is almost always the first question out of my mouth when I'm talking to an advisor about marketing, and I'm sure something you hear is, so who is it that you want to attract in? Who is it that you want to work with? And I always find that without answering that question, it's really hard to give a whole lot of advice on how to grow or what to do aside from throwing a whole bunch of money out into the world. So I like to start with the question of who's your ideal client or who do you enjoy working with? Who is a good prospect for you? Is that something that I assume that's pretty much the premise of your On Niche program?
It is. You really do need to know who you're working with to be able to craft a strategy around reaching them. If you're trying to reach a 22-year-old who's just starting out in their career, that's going to be a completely different marketing strategy, marketing message, and marketing channel than someone who's 65 and retiring. And so even if you just think of it at it from those extremes, you can see why it's important. Now, in my experience, most financial advisors tend to work with pre-retirees with a million or more in investable assets, which is a very competitive market. And so it is good to narrow it down beyond just pre-retirees in most cases.
Right. And I think in that situation too, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can take that market of pre-retirees, which is a very large market, and hone in to say which pre-retirees do you want to work with? What do they look like? What do they think about? Where can you find them? What's specific about them? What pain point can you address? Is that
exactly
how you would approach that?
Right. I would say most advisors that are in our on-niche program still probably work with some level of pre-retiree, whether mm-hmm. it's business owners looking to exit their business, or perhaps they are biopharma type of employees who are looking to retire, but they have very specific pension plans or very specific retirement plans. I've even seen people who work with, let's say, attorneys who are 50 and they're burning out and they want to stop working. That's still retirement. But all of those are very different types of clients with different motivation and different financial needs. And so just being clear and narrowing in to that level will really help you stand out and give you just more focus on what you're trying to do.
That's great. And I know one of the biggest objections is, of course, the fear that someone will feel pigeonholed and that they won't be able to work with anyone else. And an advisor can get really nervous about that, especially if they've been like on their own and they've hustled and grown and really worked hard to build the business to a certain level where they've, you know, tried to work with almost anyone who would pay them, right? Who would take their advice, and they've done a good job and gotten to a certain level, but they also appreciate that that's probably not a sustainable route to go as they look ahead.
Right. When I work with advisors, that is a very common fear, is I'm going to alienate potential business or alienate my existing clients if I focus on a specific niche. And my answer is always, you can work with whoever you want. You know, you don't have to turn anyone away. What I'm asking you to do is to focus your energy and your money on one particular type of client. And you want clients that congregate together, that know each other, that are basically the same community, because they will start talking about you. And that word of mouth is going to propel you to the next level of your business. This also works if you're in a small community. If you think about it, if you're in a community with 100,000 people and most people seem to know each other and they talk about, you know, the few financial advisors in that town, that also works. And you don't need a niche in those scenarios. But if you're in a market like the San Francisco Bay Area, or I'm in San Diego, and you have millions of people, you can't create that small pond just by your geographic area. You have to artificially create that through a niche where you have those people who are all congregating together, talking to each other, reading the same things, listening to the same podcasts, because that's where you become, I've heard the term like micro famous within your specific niche.
Mm-hmm.
I did not come up with that.
No, I have not heard that term, but you're absolutely right. And it's really about being the expert for that particular group of people, right?
So exactly.
Claiming that expert status, even if that just means you're slightly, obviously advisors have a lot more knowledge around financial planning and investment and advice there, but to be able to do that for a group of people and be just a little more knowledgeable, a little more specific, a little more aware of what they're facing or up against, you can really quickly stand out as an expert. And then as you're growing and having more case studies of people that you're helping within your niche, you're able to reinforce that expert status both internally and externally.
It also just becomes more efficient and scalable from an operations standpoint. I know we're here to talk about marketing, but from an operations standpoint, if you are working with the exact same type of people who have the same problem over and over again, it's easier to train your staff. You don't have to spend much time researching their problems because you've already done it. You probably can develop specific tools that are just for that particular issue. And you can service them a lot more efficiently, which means more profitably. And a lot of times, if you have that specialty, according to some of the research I've seen, you can charge more because you do have that specialty. So you're charging more, and you are taking less time to service these clients. So it's a great marketing tool. It's a great operations tool.
Yeah, I think it's really important across. I think if we do step back and look at the full picture of an advisor who's gotten to a certain level and they're saying, hey, I want to grow. I want to get to that next level efficiently and sustainably. And they've had a bit of a scattershot approach to who they work with or what they're doing. I think it, you know, honing in on a niche and an audience, or we can get into, if they're larger, how they might look at multiple audiences. But if we're looking at someone who's solo and they've gotten to a certain level and they come in and they go, okay, the sheer efficiency behind having, like you said, a service offering that's easy to communicate and resonates directly to the pain points, that priced according to the value you provide, that I think an important part you brought up is just the training of the staff. It's so important to also help the staff realize they can add a whole lot more value when they're seeing the same situations over and over again, or the same types of resolutions. So they're able to connect and provide that value and knowledge at each stage of the client experience. So it's providing just this compounding effect that I've witnessed in the people who actually, you know, really embrace using a niche.
Yeah, if you think about younger advisors, the only way they're going to get experience is time. But if they're seeing the same scenario over and over again, they're getting that experience so much faster than if they're seeing, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of different scenarios. And so they become an expert within that niche much quicker. They feel more confident, which then the client feels more confident. And so it's just, it accelerates their progress so much faster.
Right, right. And I love the positioning you took with your book overall, just around when you become uncomparable, you're actually, you know, making your life a whole lot easier and helping you love your business more, right? You've set it up, you know, you're uncomparable. You can, I think you can just operate as a leader of an RIA, as an advisor, with just much more ease, right? When you've set it up, you're like, ah, oh, this is just so much easier. And on the along the way, you're also more successful, which, you know, kind of compounds as well. Like it's like a snowball effect there.
Absolutely. Some of the advisors I interviewed for my book, one of the tips they gave me was you should get rid of all of your non-niche clients as soon as possible. Because when you are completely niched, every other client feels hard compared to the ones that fit your ideal client. And I think that's right. Good advice. You can't do that right away. But as soon as you can, start streamlining everyone to be the same type of client. It's just your life is going to be much easier.
Yeah, I think that's pretty exciting. And I know immediately there might be the reaction of, but I like some of those clients. Well, great. You can keep working with them. But it's the ones you don't necessarily like, who aren't really a fit, who aren't really part of that. That gives you kind of the opportunity to...
Right. You have the choice to work with whoever you want. This is just
always
a focusing technique, right? Yeah.
Right, right. It's all about, I always said, you know, who do you want to be proactive and intentional about attracting in versus just waiting to see who calls in or sends an email and says, hey, I'm looking for a financial advisor. I think this is a way for you to say each week when you wake up, oh, I know I want to do these things to attract these types of people in the door.
Right. It gives you real strategy. And I find that that's one of the biggest mistakes advisors make is that they go straight for the tactical. When I'm talking to an advisor who's interested in our services, a lot of times they'll tell me about all the things they've tried and all the things that they're looking at. And I'm not going to name names, but it will be a specific technology or a specific lead generation service or social media. It will be an answer. But what the problem is that there's no strategy behind it. And so if you don't know who you're trying to reach, and what message you're trying to communicate, how can you possibly have a good social media strategy? You just can't. So all those things are going to fail. Yes.
I know. And then as the, you know, if you're trying to help someone with marketing or saying, hey, is this a good fit or not a good fit? It's really hard to evaluate if you have absolutely no idea. What should I post on social media? I don't know. What are we working with? Who are we working with? What are they facing? What's keeping them up at night? All those different things. I think that's really, really important in terms of, especially in our industry where people are pelted with, we can get you leads, you know, don't forget about SEO. Don't, you know, you need to be on social. It's like all of the shiny objects that come up, and some of them may fit perfectly in the strategy. It's just, to your point, a question of making sure we're delivering that in a way that they know, and they're making intentional choice around where to invest resources and invest over time so we can see how that works.
Right. SEO is always an interesting one to me because I think, what is it that you're optimizing for if you don't have a strategy, unless you're just trying to be found locally,
you know, right,
someone's
right.
Throwing a financial advisor near me. Okay, well, I can understand that. But otherwise, like if you don't have a specific area of specialty, what are you trying to optimize for? What words do people need to find or to search to find you?
Right.
So, you know, one of the reasons I talk about niching is really about putting all of your focus and energy to becoming a specialist in that area. But even if you're not like, hey, I want to be an expert in this niche, just starting to go down that path and say, okay, here's the market that I want to focus on. Maybe I'm not going to become an expert in just this one thing for the rest of my life, but just starting down that path will give you the focus and the strategy to have a decent marketing plan, which is actually what I see with the larger firms, you know, like the $1 billion plus, right? Like when I've worked with them, they're not necessarily niching at the same level as, let's say, smaller firms are, right? Like they're probably working with broader categories like business owner, like women in transition, like executives, because they have so many clients. It's really hard to say, I want to work with just these particular types of people. So they're a little bit broader. But even just kind of starting at that level, it gives them direction, right? Like they know generally who they're working with, they know what the message is, and then they know what channels that they should be reaching out to. And so, you know, even if you're like, hey, I don't want to just focus on one niche, well, at least start applying that strategy because it will give you some sort of direction on what you should be doing from a marketing standpoint, instead of just throwing out stuff on social media, doing email campaigns where there's just no focus whatsoever.
Right, right. And when you do have the larger firms, I do have firms that come to me too, who are pretty well established and they have really good traction. Say, I think a great one is like they have some advisors focused on women and maybe some focused on attorneys and then the business owner. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend them, like looking at that from a marketing strategy standpoint? I mean, there's the corporate brand, right? And like kind of what they stand for as a company. And then in terms of folding in those sub-specialties or niches, how do you approach that?
You need to have some overall theme for the entire company, right? So like, let's just say, just to be most obvious, you were really interested in socially responsibly investing and you wanted to have different segments underneath that. You could not then have a section just for like oil industry employees, right? Like that could not be one of your niches, right?
Yes, that's a very good example.
But you could have foundations or you could have, you know, philanthropic or people charitably minded, you know, you could have different areas underneath that. So you do have to have an overarching theme that is going to work with everyone. And it can be as basic as people who are facing change and need help, right? That could be an overall theme that a company could have. And then below that, you could have the different niches. So exiting a business, that's a big change. As much as I don't consider this a niche, retirement planning. Again, this is only appropriate if you're a very large firm.
And very large, yes. So you could say like divorce, you know, people going through a divorce. Yes. And that's another niche there too. And then
widows and, you know, so yeah, you can separate it out. But you do need to have that overarching thing that you were doing for all of your clients. Otherwise, your branding is going to be all over the place.
Right. I was going to say it gives you an ability to have the umbrella corporate messaging and then spotlight various advisors if you want in terms of content or specialty while still having a through line
exactly.
for everyone. So
an easy way to think about it is law firms do this, right? They'll have one law firm and then they'll have different practice areas. And so if you think about it the same way for advisors of, again, large firms talking over a billion, that's how they can kind of think of it, is you have these different specialty areas to serve these different types of clients. So it's probably not down to the level of niche that I talk about in my book, but it is a good place for a good strategy for those firms.
Right. And that's something, because I know some of the smaller firms or the ones in the sort of middle zone of that 500 million under management, you know, maybe somewhere between like 2 and 5 million revenue. It's, well, what if we want to have more than one niche? What if we want to focus on more than one? What do you recommend there?
I do think it's a little bit of a struggle from about 100 million to maybe 200 million all the way up to about 600 or 700 million. You are a little bit in this no man's land where you're too big and you have too many different clients to really want to go in on one niche, right, and make that shift. But you don't have the staff and the resources to go in on multiple niches. And if you're going to do a multi-niche approach, you probably should have at least three. I think two is like the worst, right? So you either need one, or you say like, this is who we focus on, or you need to have like multiple. With the exception of, let's say you wanted to work in the healthcare space and you had multiple niches underneath that, and you're in that like 100 to 600 or 700 million range. Like you could have one niche that is doctors and one that's dentists and maybe one that's healthcare executives, because they're all kind of similar. So if you are going to be in that no man's land, then I would say your niches need to be very similar so that you can focus on different ones. What you can't do is something like women in transition and then, you know, like oil executives, right? Like those are so different to me.
Exactly. And I have seen those scenarios, and I actually truly love working with this particular group because there is so much opportunity and interest, and there's a lot, you know, there are problems to solve there. Like there's a complexity there that is really interesting to look at, but I think it's also where, in terms of marketing or any kind of business development, you can really help them. You can really help a firm this size allocate their resources efficiently by getting behind, at least starting with a niche focus on where are we going to proactively direct these resources. And that's where I think coming in with at least having a target audience that you are, that you're going to put the, you know, content marketing strategy behind, or the efforts that you're directing your, because you are limited in resources, it gives you a chance to focus marketing on it, at least a specific audience to be able to get some acceleration there.
Absolutely. And I do think too, when firms are just starting to think about a niche, it's okay to go a little bit broader and then narrow in so that you have the experience of working with different types of clients under that broader niche.
Right.
And then decide from there, oh, this niche is, they clearly need my services. They're willing to pay for it. This is a better direction to go than these other people who, you know, I feel like I have to drag them along in this process.
So. Right, right. Yeah, I've seen that. I call it the high value hyper target, where it's, you start with a target audience like your ideal, and then over, especially as you gain experience and have multiple clients coming in that realm, you start to find out, well, who specifically within this broader target audience, to your point, I think the thing you said most importantly is will pay, you know, kind of pay for the value you offer, right? Like that's going to make it a sustainable business over time. And they do see value in your service and they do want your expertise. I've used this example before, but when I had my RAA, I focused on new and expectant parents and families with young children as my start. And then over time, I realized that the actual, like, so hyper value target was parents who were about to have their second child and still had a child under five at home, because they had gone through the experience already. So they weren't trying to shake off like being a brand new parent, but they also saw the complexity and the need for thinking through the financial picture a little more. So I didn't know that going in. But as I focused and started to learn and go, oh, I thought it was going to be people who are pregnant and having a baby. Oh, it's actually the people who have been through it a bit and they're starting to see why it really matters. So, you know, you kind of start and then bring it in. And I've seen that work with advisors over and over and over again.
I did the same thing when I started my business. Because I had worked for a hybrid RAA before I started this business, I knew that I wanted to work with financial advisors. Mm-hmm. But I was still pretty new in the industry. I'd only had 3 years experience. So I didn't know about all the different types of advisors that were out there. Okay. And then as I worked with more and more, I realized like the ones that were the best fit for me were the, you know, fee only RIAs. Now, is everyone mm-hmm. I work with like that? No, but that's where I was narrowing down. And then I've narrowed even more, which is, you know, those who also want a niche, right? So
right.
You can
get more and more
narrow.
I would say you've, as long as I've known you, you've been at financial advisor marketing. That would be the association I put with you. Mm-hmm. And now that was one of my questions I wanted to ask you. It was like, well, what drove you to hyper focus on niche?
Really, it was because I think marketing is getting a lot more challenging out there. Mm-hmm. When I first started this business, social media was just becoming relevant. And so there were a lot of opportunities around that and being a part of social media and bringing in clients that way. Well, you know, let's fast forward actually more than 10 years, 12 years later, when the pandemic hits and everyone's now flooded to social media, good luck trying to stand out. Same with like SEO. Like there was this period of time where those advisors who were really focused on SEO and maybe Google ads were doing really well. And then all of a sudden, all these other companies just started flooding those channels. And now a Google ad that might have cost $5 per click is now $50 per click, and that's no mm-hmm. longer a viable option. And so when you're chasing all these channels all the time, it really is not sustainable. And I looked at those firms that I thought were actually having the easiest time marketing, and it was the ones that were just making a name for themselves in a niche and just consistently creating content for that niche and becoming a part of that community and speaking at those events and, you know, just really becoming an expert. And honestly, that's my natural marketing tendency too. I've always just mm-hmm. been an expert in working with financial advisors and marketing. When I started my business, it didn't even occur to me to work with other people because that's the only thing I knew was financial advisor marketing. So I just decided that I was tired of chasing all these new opportunities and trying to kind of beat my head against the wall of how do we get new clients just when we're such generalists, that I thought I just really want to focus on advisors who want to be specialists. And it goes along really well with content marketing. So if you are an advisor who loves content and marketing that way versus, let's say, networking or some other ways, it's a really good fit. And content marketing is my preferred channel of marketing. And so it was just something that I was really passionate about and just wanted to spend more of my time doing with the advisors that I worked with.
Oh, that's great. No, it is fascinating, the parallel, because you literally have done what you are teaching how to do to the degree of not just, oh, pick a niche, I'm working with financial advisors, but okay, now I'm going to focus in and work with people in this, you know, who fit this profile, who want a specific approach or way of being or a way of looking at things. So yeah, that's really, it's really exciting. Plus, it also makes you incredibly more referable. I mean, someone calls me and says, well, I don't know what kind of niche I'm thinking, I might want a niche. It's so easy to say, I mean, as a marketing coach in the industry too, you know what you need. You need to go to Kristen's program and on niche, because she's going to step you through it. And I will, full disclosure, I've seen the product. I do get to do some guest coaching for Kristen. So I've had the pleasure of actually going through the entire system and seeing what she has there. And it's really extraordinarily well thought out. Your expertise is clear in the way it's approached. I really love the approach you take with the advisors and how, you know, they get to know the niche and really try it on and see what works for them. And I think that's a really important piece where you have them talking to people in the industry and, I mean, in their niche and really learning about it and showing how to bring that forth, especially in content, right? In bringing that forward, because, you know, a lot of the advisors now want to share their voice and have knowledge and want to get it out there. And it's a way to help them do it effectively, right? By having the niche.
And also naturally, one of the things that we do in our programs, we try to figure out like what is going to be a natural fit for you from a marketing standpoint. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had a conversation with several of the advisors yesterday about podcasting, and some said, I just don't want to podcast. And I said, that's okay. You don't have to. But those of you who do, it's a great marketing channel. But if you don't like that, we will find what you like that fits your niche, you know, and that's what makes you unique. You know, where are your strengths when it comes to marketing? Some people love nothing more than to just go and pound the pavement and network. Other people, like myself, would love nothing more than to hide behind my computer and write books, right? And all of that can work. And as long as it's in line with how your niche likes to interact with information and, you know, potential advisors that they work with.
Right. I mean, because ultimately we want to, what I see and what I know we both, like, marketing can be really, really fun when, especially when it's easy and it's just more of like the natural things you would say and do. And you know, every advisor you work with does really well talking with a client one-on-one because they're excited about helping that person and they have expertise and they're comfortable to share it and they're very good at that. So it's really, how do we shine a light on that and use that so that you can let other people know what you do and what you're really good at and bring it in? And I think if we can flip the switch on the, like, marketing being fun and not a burden and not something onerous that you have to carry around, like, let's make it fun and easy and natural, then I think it makes I've seen the 180 on people on that, because they come in, they're like, oh, I always thought it was such a burden. And now it's creative and fun. And they get, like, with a niche, I think it allows for a lot of creativity because you can think about how it fits in it without it being such a broad, amorphous blob of information. You can go, this is why it matters to these particular people.
Right. And you are clearer on who you're talking to, so your message is more focused. If you're saying, hey, I'm working with everybody, well, then, you know, doing a video on IRA rollovers, you know, is really boring. It's boring to do. It's boring to watch, right?
Like, right, exactly.
But if there's something specific around that to your client, then it becomes more interesting to you, it becomes more interesting to them.
Right, absolutely.
And what I'd like advisors to think about is marketing in this industry is really about two things. It's either about relationship building or about educating. And if you can think of it that way instead of just promoting, then it'll help you buy into it more and enjoy it more, because you can either educate or you can build relationships or both. But if you have a preference, you can focus on those areas.
Right. I think that's a great way to think about it. And it fits with a lot of the personality of your fee-only independent advisors who are out there, who genuinely want to help other human beings with their financial goals and help them become fulfilled and reach their goals in life, and whether it's retirement or funding kids' education or whatever the elements might be, you know, a different kind of lifestyle or whatever it might be. And if we can, that's another reason why content marketing can be so helpful in with a niche, and like, 'cause you're just turning it all around to be like, this is what I want you to know, human who's sitting here. I want you to know this, and I want to share it with you, and this will help you in this way. I think that's really deep.
And every time that you are creating content, you're just creating marketing resources that will work for you for a long period of time, right? Like you're adding on each time versus, let's say, if you go to a networking event, okay, you might be building those relationships time and time again, but once you have left that event, you know, that's come and gone. But if you're writing blogs or doing videos, that's on your website. You know, I've seen people who have had blogs from 5 years ago that are still getting thousands of hits a month, right? And so it is an investment in your long-term marketing when you are doing content marketing.
Right. Absolutely. I think that will have to be a whole nother session we get into on content, how to do it well, what to do. We can talk about that for forever, for sure.
But yeah, we never run out of things to talk about when it comes to marketing.
I know. I was like, we could absolutely do that. And it all ties back to niche. But I wanted to bring you on for niche right away, because I had talked an earlier episode of this podcast about, you know, just the importance of looking at the firm at a high level and all the parts where, you know, you could create revenue or have business development. And again, it still always comes back to me when I'm working with advisors of the size that I work with, that we've been talking about, kind of in that $1 to $7 million revenue range, or even a little smaller, is, so who is your client that we want to attract in? Who do you want to work with? And so I think we have to start there, and then everything else from there just unfolds. So I definitely wanted to have you on because I've known you a long time, but also just because I have seen the program, and it's just so clear on taking people through the steps of helping them discover and find which niche is going to work best for them. And then to have the tools and materials to be able to communicate it. So I think that's extremely important. And so I do want to, before we get into all the great ways that people can find out about you and your program, this podcast is about, it's all about fulfillment, both professionally and personally. So I'd love to hear what fulfills you professionally, and then something that you enjoy personally that gives you a great joy and freedom.
Well, professionally, I am very much a creative person. And I actually never thought of myself as a creative person, because I cannot draw and I cannot paint. I can't do anything artistic. I am not artistic. But I am creative when it comes to like visioning new ways of doing things, taking information that's out there, blending it together, coming up with new ways of presenting information. I love nothing more than when there's some new marketing thing out there and trying it, not necessarily because I'm going to recommend it. For example, I am not on TikTok because that's not for me. But when AI came out, I was all over it, ChatGPT. So I love just being able to experiment with things and then figure out how I can create value for advisors based on those things that I'm learning. And so I am always trying to simplify information and things that I'm learning for advisors. So like, I have simplified how to pick a niche. I have simplified how to evaluate a niche. And I probably spent years doing that, right? But I love just taking something and just keep working at it over a period of time and then releasing it to the world. So that's what I find fulfilling from a career standpoint.
Yes.
Personally, I love being in nature. If I'm in nature, I feel fulfilled and rejuvenated. And so, which is why I have a cabin in the mountains here in about 2 hours northeast of San Diego. It just makes me feel inspired and calm. And it can be the beach, it can be the mountains, it can be the desert. I love the desert as well. But just having kind of that moment of peace in nature, it just is so fulfilling to me.
That sounds amazing. And it makes me want to go take a walk right now, leave my desk and get outside and get some fresh air. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, as we wrap up, I'd love to know, who do you think is a great fit for your program? Who would you ask to come and say, hey, give us a call, let's talk?
Really, it's any independent advisor out there. I used to be a lot more narrow in what that is, but it can be a solo practitioner who's just starting. It could be somebody who is a career changer. It can be someone who's been in this industry for 25 years and they want to focus on a niche because they have 10 more years before they're going to sell and they want to do one last push. It could be advisors within very large companies that want to have a business development role and wants to know how to bring in clients because they want to be an owner in that larger firm. So really all independent advisors are a good fit for us. It used to be a lot more narrow than that, but as long as you have the mentality that I want to become an expert in a specific type of client, you're a good fit for us if you're an independent advisor.
That's great. And how can listeners get in touch with you?
So if you want to connect with me on social media, the only one I'm on these days is LinkedIn. I guess I have a Twitter profile or X, but I don't use it anymore. So LinkedIn is the best place there. Otherwise, visit our website on niche.com. And you can also get a free copy of my book. We have a form there that you can request and we will mail it to you. And you can also learn about the On Niche Companion program, or the program that's a companion to the book. So they go hand in hand. So the good first step is to read the book. Then if you believe in the same philosophy that I talk about there, then joining On Niche will walk you through those steps. So visit onniche.com.
Great. We'll have that in the show notes too for everyone and links to everything so they can get the book and take a look at the program and read some of your content. I know you have a lot out there. So thanks so much for joining me today. I was very excited to welcome you as my guest on this program. It was an obvious first yes. I'm going to ask Kristen right away. I really want her joining us, and I'm really happy you could make the time and help us out and join me on the Full Advisor Podcast.
Thanks, Kristen, for the invitation. It was great.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. Thanks, ladies, both of you. Kristen?
Which
my
one?
Kristen. There's two of you. Holy
Kristen,
cow.
Kristen, yes. Kristen with an I.
Yeah, don't worry. It's not like we haven't been mistaken for the other being both in marketing and having the same name, even though we
are
very different looking. But it hasn't hurt either of our business development. Let's put it that way.
Well, for those who are listening to Kristen Herod, how do they get a hold of her?
Oh, yes. So you can go to the Full Advisor Coaching fulladvisorcoaching.com, and you can sign up there to not just follow the podcast, but also receive our content and get all the latest of what's going on, find out about our programs. So fulladvisorcoaching.com is the best way. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, the only social media platform I'm on now too.
Yeah. And your contact information, of course, is also in the show notes for those who are listening and you know, want to explore it and maybe develop a relationship with you. So as we get ready to leave, I imagine you out there boldly walking in San Francisco, getting in touch with nature. I am going to go forth and use the word microfamous somehow today. So thank you for that. There we go. Added a word to my vocabulary. Listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you enjoyed this podcast and you are not already a subscriber, this is the easy part. No show notes needed. Hit subscribe. That way you don't ever miss another podcast. And if you like it, tell other people about it. Help spread the word about what Kristen is talking about and how you have found her useful in listening to her. Thank you, everyone, for listening. On behalf of Kristen Herod, I'm Bill Tucker, urging you to go out and have a great day today. Remember, it is your choice. You can make it a great one or not, but make it a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Full Advisor Coaching, the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit the follow button so you'll never miss an episode. To learn more about how you can become a part of the Full Advisor community, visit fulladvisorcoaching.com. Remember, stay connected and get notified as soon as brand new episodes release. Click the follow button now. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Kristen Herod or Full Advisor Coaching.